Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
My key still works. We'll let you in here.
What the hell did I miss? Is there anything going on while I left? Holy cow. Oh, my goodness. It is good to be back inside the Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. I first want to thank Scott Sudikoff and Eric Friends for stepping in and filling in over the last couple of weeks. We did have a somewhat abbreviated schedule in the playbook over the last 2 weeks, A, because of the Monday night game after the Carolina disaster, and then, of course, this last week after the Denver game before Houston because of the holiday. So it would have been, by my count, I only missed 3 shows. I could have missed up to 6. I could have missed up to 6 shows. I only missed 3. So, you know, thank you to Scott, thank you to Eric, and thank you for all the kind words that you've sent me via social media, Twitter, Facebook, that kind of thing about missing me and all that kind of stuff. Look, it's a great opportunity for all of us to share our thoughts, our views on a team that you root for, you follow closely. You know, we happen to work for, but we also, in a sense, root for and follow, obviously, very, very closely. It's not all about me. It's all about just exchanging the information, and maybe you're just used to me. So that's great. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the kind words. And to that end, I want to jump back into it today. Couple of things that are on my mind. Number one, right off the top. First and foremost, it is Nitpick Tuesday. Do we have anything to nitpick about from Sunday's game against Houston? I'm sure we do. I got a couple I'd love to share with you. But I'm going to open it up right now because I felt like this might end up taking up the majority of the show today. So don't forget the addresses and how to get a hold of me. It's very easy to do it. Webradio@patriots.com is the email. Toll-free telephone number is 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Or you can hit me up on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Don't forget on Twitter to follow me at JR Broadcaster. By the way, I'm getting close. Eric will be happy with me. I am 28 away from 2000. Finally approaching that. I guess I don't, like I said, and I've said this many times before, I don't do a good enough job of pimping myself, I think. If that's how it's said. Is that how the kids, you know, basically
say
today, Kev? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you get any new followers from Puerto Rico when you were down there?
I got a few. Yeah. So that was nice. And then, in the aftermath of the Houston game, after, you know, retweeting a few things that I thought were particularly poignant, in the aftermath of the win over the Texans this weekend, I got a few more. But I'm 28 away from 2000. My offer is still good. I'm going to send a special prize to the person that sends me over the 2000 mark. I might even include a baked homemade cranberry bread for Miss Robin.
That sweetens the pot.
Yeah, I might have to do that. I might have to talk to her if I can.
Literally sweetens the pot.
Yeah, yeah. And Kevin can speak to that because my girlfriend's the absolute best in the world at this. So, really good stuff. I'm not going to tell you why it's so good though, Kevin. She gave me the secret ingredient.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to get you drunk one night and find out.
Well, yeah, you might. I don't know that you will though, and you're not going to want to know. You're not going to want to know what it is. So
we're just going to
keep it silent. Okay. If you're health conscious at all, you don't want to know. It's probably a reason why it tastes so good. At any rate, it is awesome. So, you know, we'll include that in there. But I'm 28 away from 2000. I got to step this up. So everything I'm going to do now, I'm going to pimp it until I get it. That's all I'm going to tell you. So it's at JR Broadcaster. Let go. And then John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the last name spelling on Facebook. You can always send me a friend request if you're not on Facebook already, and then you can post and we can chat during the broadcast as well about all things Patriot. And I do take questions on Facebook through the course of the program, so just hit me up and we'll go that route. All right, couple of quick things right off the top before I get, you know, to you guys. Number one, Antonio Smith. Please forgive me for a moment, but that guy is an absolute unbelievable idiot. Now, I say that with all due respect because he might have actually been trying to be somewhat coy, or he might have been trying to be somewhat funny. He might have been trying to be tongue-in-cheek. He might have. I don't think so. Because I went back earlier today and I listened to some of his post-game interview in the aftermath of the Patriots win on Sunday, and I listened to what he was saying. And the quote actually is it's if he's being sarcastic or if he's being somewhat joking about his accusing the Patriots of actually spying to where the Patriots knew what was coming at them, or the Texans knew what was coming at them, or whomever, in the second half of the game on Sunday. I just, first of all, this is why some players in the NFL should have muzzles over their faces, simply because they just don't know when to speak. This is also a reason why people who are quote-unquote media coaches have jobs, because they need to get to people like Antonio Smith, who loves to insert his foot in his mouth before, you know, he can close it. You know, he came back earlier today and even yesterday and said it was something he was curious about. It didn't seem right. How all of a sudden did they have the change here? It wasn't a serious matter to where I was thinking, oh, man, they're spying on us. They're cheating. He said, it's just me being me. Well, if you go back and listen to the original interview in the postgame locker room in the aftermath of getting his butt beat in the second half on Sunday, he was not joking. He was not being flip. He was not being coy. He was not him being him. He was serious. He could not figure out for the life of him why the Patriots only got 7 points in the first half, then came out and mashed his team for 27 second half points. And frankly, Antonio, I got a couple of things. Number one, dude, it's called game plan. And if you're telling me that you guys just put something in on during the week that you had not had before and the Patriots picked up on it, I'd say that's not a very good job by you or your coaching staff. That's number one. Number two, the one thing that Bill Belichick and the Patriots have always been good at is halftime adjustments. How many of you know that? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's what I thought. Everybody's got their hand raised. Everybody knows the Patriots are one of the best in the last 13, 14 years, at adjusting at halftime of football games. So, quite frankly, we as fans and as followers of the football team and those that cover the Patriots should be the ones saying, what the hell? I mean, how come you didn't have a better job or better grasp of what Houston was presenting you in the first half? Because you only scored 7 points and you were down by 10 at halftime. We're going, uh-oh, here we go again. It's the Denver hangover effect. And then all of a sudden, you light up the scoreboard for 27, and Houston's defense can't seem to tackle? They made adjustments. They changed the blocking schemes up front to give them a little bit of room, make your job a little bit tougher coming in, Smith. All right? Make your job a little bit tougher to get around the edge. You know, you certainly, I think that was probably one of the better offensive line performances that we've seen the Patriots have this year, and consider that Wills Vitek is in there at right tackle. You know, so, I mean, you're basically going with your third teamer at right tackle. And yet it was one of the better performances they had at keeping what is still a pretty decent rush at bay. I mean, J.J. Watt had his moments in the first half. They did a decent job of neutralizing him and the rest of your teammates, Antonio Smith, at bay in the second half. So adjustments, adjustments. Fact of the matter is that you didn't adjust to the Patriots' adjustments, and the Patriots ran over you. So the whole very suspicious quote that you used.
You want to take a listen to it?
Yeah. Can we play that? And well, let's let, if you haven't heard it, here we go.
spying on us or scouting us. I don't know what it is, man, because, you know, we had some ways that we was going to play this week that just got put in this week. And it was just miraculous that they changed up some things that they did on offense that keyed on what we put in this week to stop what they was doing. That just seemed that they never had did before all year. So that just it just seems to be like miraculous to me. You would have to be a descendant of Tone Stradamus to know what we put in this week to be able to change that fast.
Later. Now, I like that. I like the whole Nostradamus thing because that tells me he's not an idiot. He may be stupid, but he's not an idiot. For him to even know who Nostradamus is in predicting things, right? Okay, so I'll give him a little bit of credit there. That's the first indication to me that he might have actually been kidding. But if you listen closely to the first part of what he said, he's serious. He's not intoning wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He's not trying to tweak the Patriots' nose. He's not trying to put the Patriots' nose down in the mess of Spygate from a few years ago. He's not trying to do that. He's calling the Patriots out. And this is where the league needs to step in because, yes, we all know what happened during Spygate. No one's terribly proud of that in this organization. They have paid for their crime, okay? They paid for it. There was a suspension or a large fine. It's over. And you have to assume that unless you get caught doing it again, it's over for the foreseeable future, if not forever. But for other teams to continue to bring it up every time the Patriots actually, you know, play football the right way and do things the right way, that does kind of rankle me a little bit. I'm sure it rankles you as a Patriots fan just because it's kind of like, you make a mistake and you're going to be forever beholden to that mistake. I mean, I'm sure we've all made mistakes in our life that we'd like to sort of, be given a second chance for. Right? But the Patriots are being held to a different standard. But every time something comes up, this is going to keep coming back into play. And Antonio Smith's comments, either they were spying on us or scouting us, it's not entirely fair. Yes, there's a part of me that says, well, the Patriots brought this on themselves because of the initial incident or the initial, shall we say, interpretation of the rule, which they were deemed to have interpreted incorrectly. And that's basically what happened in the entire incident. But for other teams to be bringing it up, it pulls the Patriots down in a different light where that can hurt their marketability, it can hurt their salesability, it can hurt a lot of things. It can hurt the perception, it can hurt a lot of things. And then, of course, when people start talking and you know how social media gets, then it's a wildfire. In fact, ESPN picked up on it. They put it up on ESPN.com, Spygate 2, and all this. And I mean, and that's unfair because allegations get made, and before anything is put in concrete and anything really becomes fact, people automatically assume because they read it or saw it somewhere, it's true. So there really needs to be a better job by the NFL in this particular instance to tell people, look, that incident is over. And anybody that keeps bringing it up, it's unfair to the New England organization, and they should be dealt with. Now, I'm not saying fine or suspension or anything, but that needs to come from the league. And if it doesn't come from the league, it would tell me that the league doesn't care. And that the Patriots now have worked themselves into a position of literally, it's us against the world. And maybe it's because the Patriots have now 13 consecutive winning seasons. What are they now? I think it is, what, three away from tying the all-time record of consecutive winning seasons? So they got, what, three, 4 more years before they, you know, have the record of themselves if they can have winning seasons over the next few years? See, that's extraordinary. In this day and age of parity in the NFL, that's extraordinary. And I don't think the NFL, I really don't believe the NFL wants that. I think they don't want a team to dominate. They don't want a dynasty. They like parity. Everything they have done with the rules to the game and the way that they have marketed the league and the way they've gone about their business over the last 10 to 20 years tells me they like it when anybody can beat anybody. It's better for sales. It's better for interest. They like it when a dog team can beat up on a good team or at least throw a hell of a scare into them. And that may be what we have this weekend. I'll get to more of that in a minute. And that's with all due respect to the Cleveland Browns organization. Just sort of generalizing here. But I can tell you that unless the NFL comes up and says something to other teams like, look, you know, you can't disparage another team like that. You need to get your players in check because the next time you do it, you're going to be fined. The NFL needs to say something about that. If they don't, then the NFL is telling me they don't give a crap about the Patriots. They don't. Show me where they do. Show me where they do. Show me where the NFL cares. I don't think they do. Now, some would say, well, what about all the quarterback rules that, you know, because of what happened to Brady a few years ago? And blah, blah, blah. Now, it's not just Brady. It's not just Brady. It might have been a poster child for some of the rules of, you know, diving at knees and things like that, or targeting or whatever that, you know, we've seen come about over the last couple of seasons. But it's not just Brady. Brady has actually survived more than a lot of quarterbacks. How about the quarterback, you know, three-ring circus that's going on in Cleveland, this week's opponent? Poor Brian Hoyer. He leads him to a couple of wins, and then bang, he's out for the rest of the year. And again, we'll get into that later this week. All I'm saying is that I see a double standard, and I will be curious to see how the NFL will react if they do it all, especially when the next stupid player says, oh, the Patriots are spying on us. No, dude, the Patriots just whipped your ass. That's all I can tell you. They just whipped you, and you didn't adjust, and that's what happened. It's kind of interesting that, of course, Bill Belichick, when he was asked here on Patriots Monday yesterday, by Andy and Mike, that, you know, well, that's a league matter. But you know it bothers him. You know it bothers the players. Tom Brady said it as well in his Monday morning interview here as well. It bothers them. But there's really not much they can do because what was done by New England. They did it. They paid the fine. They did the time. And then that's it. It's over. It should be over, yet it keeps coming back to haunt. It's like, all right, you're never going to be able to get by that unless someone steps up and says or does something. And if that someone, the NFL, doesn't do that, frankly, I think we all know that it will definitely be an us-against-them thing for the New England Patriots. They're not going to get any help. Bill Belichick will have to leave. He'll have to retire before that ever finally gets buried. Love your thoughts on that. Webradio at patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook. Four different ways to get a hold of me on the show. All right, so got that as well. One more item I want to throw out at you before we get to the phones and get to your emails and such here today. You know, with the Patriots win now, they're 9-3. They still are very much in the driver's seat for a bye in the AFC playoffs as we sort of take our weekly glance at the playoff picture. And, of course, you'll remember a couple of weeks ago when we were last in here saying, hey, now that you're past the midway point of the season, playoffs are fair game. Once you're past week 8 in a 16-17-week season, with the bye included there, it's fair to start looking ahead and figuring out where you might lie in the big picture. Before that, it's a little early. But now you got a pretty good idea of what you are, who you are, where you are. And I think we realize that the Patriots, yeah, they're going to, I mean, with all due respect, again, to the Dolphins, I think the Jets are toast. But it looks like the Patriots have 4 games left. They got a 3-game lead on the Dolphins. So, AFC East, yes. Bye in the first round? Probably, unless they stub a toe. Now, your Browns, at Dolphins, at Ravens, Bills are your last 4 games here in New England. Certainly, the at Dolphins and at Ravens games will be tough, will be big, will have playoff implications, will certainly have seeding implications. And again, I'm not disparaging this week's opponent. We will spend some time with them this week and probably really look at how they possibly could win this game on Sunday. But the Dolphins and Ravens, and the Dolphins will realize it's going to be their last chance, and they've had to overcome their own off-field issues with the whole incognito Jonathan Martin thing this year. And I give the Dolphins real credit here. I thought they'd be flushed down the toilet after that, you know, internal strife that they were going through, and they've responded. Dolphins now are a legitimate contender for that last playoff spot. There's no doubt in my mind. They may very well get there. And certainly a win over the Patriots would boost their chances immeasurably to get into the postseason. And we'll deal with that more next week, of course, as we lead into that game. But seeing as where the Patriots are, they're one game behind Denver. I don't know if Denver can lose again. That's you know, obviously now, if you're a Pats fan, you got to root for Denver to lose every time out. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I thought Kansas City would have been the last best shot, but again, you never know. You still got to play them out. Because if they can get tied with Denver and not lose themselves, then the Patriots would have the one seed, and you could play the entire playoffs right here at Gillette Stadium. So that's how close they are. But right now, they've got control of the two seed. As long as they don't stumble, they hold the bye in their hands. But in light of what Seattle did last night against New Orleans, I'd be curious to know who your top four teams, who are your top teams in each conference? Who deserves to be in your top four? Who are the two best AFC? Who are the two best NFC teams in your estimation? Just to sort of, again, kind of get a taste, a feel for what we're going to be facing here a month from now. Because a month from now is going to be wild card weekend. So a month from now, the postseason is here. What are your thoughts? Who are the top four? Who are the front runners in each conference right now? Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. All right, so a couple of things for you to chew on today. Let's lead it off with Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, John, just to start off, you know, I agree with what you're saying about the who said what he said. But if you really listen to what, like, the national sport vibe out there is, and, I mean, you can go from Skip Bayless and his partner, you know, they're all like, this guy's a joke, okay? Yeah, yes, the Patriots did Spygate. Yes, we did pay, okay? But bottom line is the Patriots went there and they, you know, They kicked their ass. They made the halftime adjustments and did what they had to do. Stop your crying. You know, you're 2-9 team, and that's a fact. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you haven't lived up to your expectations that you should have. Worry about your team. Don't worry about ours. Okay. You know, so it really doesn't bother me. Really, you know, it did when he said it. It was just like a it was a little girl way out of saying, hey, you know what? We had them, and they kicked our ass.
Right.
You know? And I'm going to go on again. Here's another subject. I talk to the fan every once in a while, this guy, Mike and the Mad Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And just here's another subject. You know, when that call came, not to rehash it, but when the call came against Carolina, you know, Mike was on his little talk show, and he gets on his soapbox every once in a while, and he was like, well, it's not like the Patriots didn't have any breaks. It's not like, you know, they didn't have the tuck rule.
Right.
Okay. And I called him up right away and I said, you know, I put him in his place and he agreed with me. Because what I said to him was, you know, the difference between those two calls was, yes, the tuck rule was called in the playoff game and I was there. The Raiders had their chance to win that game. That call against Carolina was the last play of the game. Okay. Two totally different scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he agreed. And he like apologized and changed his whole thinking of that nonsense.
Mike Francesa to apologize?
Yeah, you know what I told him, and he laughed. I said, you know, Mike, there's a saying that goes out, and I almost feel because I'm a die, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of diehard Red Sox fans that are Patriot fans. I feel like we're like the Yankees. Okay, haters be hating. And that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, hater, and he's, you know, and it is what it is. But, you know, I'll give you my top teams right here. I mean, I know it's kind of obvious. You got to go Seattle, the Saints, New England, and Denver. And let me tell you something. You know, I like where we're sitting now. And I think, you know, I was talking to the guys on earlier today, and we were talking about the weather for the Super Bowl. And of all those four teams, I think New England, if we do go there, has the best opportunity to play in bad weather. We're built to play in bad weather. I mean, Brady's proven it more than once.
Well, so, I would.
I know it's jumping the gun,
but it's still fun to talk about and look at, and I would tend to agree with you, which is why I kind of asked the question, because I don't think anybody, any Patriot fan, really, when you realized, and we got into this season, you realized where we were with the injuries, where we were with the suspensions, where we were with, you know, the rough start that Brady had.
I mean, I hate to bring his name up again, but just losing him, you know, was a big hit. And I agree 100%, you know, and that's what I've kind of said. That's been my mantra. You know, as bad as, you know, we've looked in some games, we still won them. And our best ball, as far as I'm concerned, is that I'll definitely on the offensive side, which I feel the offense now needs to step up a little bit and help the defense out a little bit. I think our best games are ahead of us. I really do.
Well, I'm going to stay a little bit reserved on that, Dave, excuse me. And the reason I'm going to stay reserved on that is because, I still see from week to week too many things that should not be happening, at least in my estimation, for a team that is a championship caliber, that keep reoccurring. And I don't know if it's still because of the overall immaturity of the team still, or it's just because they've got the wrong players who are out of the lineup. In other words, you know, what I saw with Ben Tate last week for Houston, I mean, they ruled the defensive front for the Patriots, Houston offensive line.
I agree 100%. I think offensively we need to get faster start here. You know, I mean, we're not the cardiac kids. I mean, you know, I know the mantra is 60 minute.
But you're playing football like cardiac kids, and that's the problem.
We are.
That could actually be a legitimate nitpick. The fact that you allow yourself, you know, to have that first half hangover from Denver or whatever you want to call it. Fact is that you allowed yourself to be in that position on the road where you had already struggled this year in losing three straight road games, and then you kind of dig yourself a hole. Yeah, and so I guess there's two ways to look at it. Number one, well, it's great to see the offense finally come alive, and then that's because you've got healthier pieces to the puzzle that are back. Brady's numbers so far in the second half of the season are way up over what he did in the first half.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because you got a healthy Gronk, you got a healthy Amendola for the most part, and you got Shane Vereen back. So because of all of that, that's the reason that Brady's numbers, for the most part, not all, we'll give all Tom a little bit of credit, but that's the major reason that his numbers now are peaking as opposed to where they were in the first half of the season, when we're all saying, including myself, where the hell is Tom Brady? He didn't have the weapons.
Absolutely.
But on the other side of the football, the other side of the football is, well, you know, now we've had there's been some devastating injuries over there, and we've seen them be able to make adjustments to where they have been able to sort of patch this and overcome that. But the fact of the matter is that Houston blew it by not sticking to their game plan and just running the ball right up the gut on New England, because if they had done that, then I think Houston probably never gets themselves in the position to give the Patriots a chance to come back like they did.
To win that game.
So,
I agree with you.
Just part of it. Go ahead.
I think, you know, everyone's going to say the same thing. You know, we know we're banged up. You know, Vince Wilfork by far is one of the best nose tackles, if not the best, in the game today. You know, I think that, you know, what really has hurt us is not just that, you know, we lost Wilfork, we lost the other D tackle, you know, you lost Mayo, that Kalib is hurt, okay? I know Arrington is hurt, and here's my nitpick. Kyle Arrington, okay, signed that contract. He is a nickel back. Okay, I'm tired of seeing him get burnt, all right? You know, you can go back to the Carolina game where he got burnt. He got burnt, you know, last week. I mean, I don't even think he knew where he was last week. He not only did he lose the ball, he lost the player.
Yeah,
it's rookie mistakes.
Actually, Dave, that's my number one nitpick from last week's game was Kyle Arrington.
I really think Logan Ryan – I know he's a rookie. I know, you know how Belichick is with rookies.
Yeah.
But this kid's got a nose for the ball. I think that what they need to do is put this kid and give this kid a shot. you know, because as far as I'm concerned, he has moved past Arrington on the depth chart.
Well,
Arrington is a good nickel back, you know, in that slot position because he can bang the slot receiver around and be a little more physical. But on an open field, he looks like he's, I don't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Is he picking flowers?
Well, the part of the problem here is that he's being asked to play a role, and we've said this several times on this program, and I'm sure you're familiar with it. He's playing in a role that he's really not best accustomed to. As you
right,
just
absolutely.
Pointed out, as you just pointed out, he's basically a nickel guy, and when he can come in and play in those situations, he's not going to be matched up against generally one of the top receivers that the other team has, and he's probably got a decent opportunity. Plus, he knows he's got cover over the top help, and so he's probably got an opportunity to play better, keep the guy in front of him, do all the things that, you know, maybe even you or I could do, you know, even in our younger days. The fact of the matter is that he's in there for Alphonso Dennard. He's the next best person up there because of his, you know, veteran
experience.
Status and experience.
Right.
And the Patriots just don't feel well enough about trusting a guy like Logan Ryan to be in there in that spot. Now, if he gets hurt, that's another matter entirely. But now that we've seen right. him have a couple of bad plays, and the one this last week when he got burnt in particular for the score that almost cost him the game, I mean, now you're going to have to reach in there and try to make a decision that keeps you from losing a game because that's what you're facing now. And now that you have these final four games in which the Patriots should, let me repeat, should win. It doesn't mean they will because I still look at Miami and at Baltimore with a lot of trepidation here at this stage of the game, especially if Baltimore, especially if Baltimore has got the, you know, they need to win to get in the playoffs, which they may need to do, then it's going to be very difficult to win at Baltimore. But you've got to give yourself a fighting chance. And at least Ryan has shown the aptitude to make plays. Again, he's making plays, though, in the former situation that Kyle Arrington was in. And even Arrington early
right.
in the year, you recall, was making plays in that same spot. So
right.
you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place here. So even though it is a nitpick, I would like to see a little more of Ryan. I'd like to see the team have a little more confidence in him. And frankly, you can't do much worse, so let's throw him out there and see what he's got.
I agree with what you're saying. I never do. I'm going to look at all four games. All four of these games we should win. I wouldn't sleep on Cleveland because that wide receiver they have there, I don't know who's going to be throwing the ball to him, but that kid scares the shit out of me.
Well, yeah. Understood. Understood, and that's all part of it. Thanks, Dave, for the phone call. Apologize for the language, but hey, it's just a couple of guys talking football here. So
it's the internet.
Yeah, I know it is, but it's still a family. I like to think we're a family.
It's a family show,
right,
John?
I like to think that we are from time to time. We don't have a dump button here, so that's why we have to kind of like be careful with what gets said, because that's just the way it works. We try to at least have some sort of broadcast standard around here. All right. It's 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Where you been? What have you been doing the last 2 weeks? I can give you some of my stories if you really want them. If you don't, well, I don't blame you. But if you follow me on Twitter or you follow me on Facebook, you know where I've been over the last couple of weeks. I can give you.
I'm sick of looking at all your palm tree photos.
Thank
all right,
you.
Rook.
Thank you. I can give you a couple of good football stories from being in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands a couple of weeks ago. I was traveling back a week ago today, in fact. If you really want, I can break those out. I can tell you how cheap the booze was down there. It's pretty good. Food is nothing really food is really nothing to kind of like go crazy over, but the weather was definitely something to go crazy over. All right, we'll get to some emails. Pick up the phone. Let's go. What were your thoughts? You've got to have some nitpicks from Sunday. I've given you one. Anything else? Or are we all happy in Patriot land? Really, has a malaise overcome Patriots Nation over the course of the last 2 weeks? Huge win over Denver, yes, I know. Very huge disappointment against Carolina. Probably got screwed on that one, but it is what it is. You got to kind of pick up and move on. I understand breaks have a way of evening out. Okay, I get all of that. But the fact of the matter is, a hold is a hold is a hold is a hold. I said that a couple of weeks ago when I was calling in from the airport. So, you know, at least my thought on it. And then you manage not only to win that game, but then you come out to such a lousy start this past Sunday, and you turn it around and you throw 27 up on the board against Houston, a respectable defense, even though I know they've been hurt a lot by injuries. It's still a respectable defense, and you throw 27 up on the board. All I would like to find is some consistency, not only in the play calling, but in the performance on the field. How about you? Webradio at Patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook Facebook. Love to hear from you right here in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
34-31 was the score. Patriots win on the road, snap a three-game road losing streak, improved to 9-3 overall, which still isn't bad when you consider where we thought they might be. Remember, our good friend here, Eric Scalavino, said the Patriots would go 9-7, period, this year. I'm sure many of you have taken the time to remind him of such. He did adjust upward, I think, to 10-6. So I guess, like I adjusted upward to 11-5, Patriots go 2-2 in the last four, then I nail it. Patriots go 1-3 in the last four, he nails it. With Browns, at Dolphins, at Ravens, with Bills. That's the end of the regular season before the playoffs start. Doesn't sound daunting when you consider especially the year that the Ravens are having, but I got a sneaky feeling, you know, in another, you know, 3 weeks when that game does come up, I got a sneaky feeling that the Ravens will be playing for their playoff lives in that one, and they're defending Super Bowl champs, and they beat the Patriots last year, as we all know, in the AFC title game. And I don't know that I have a very good feeling about that one right now. But be that as it may, you got Cleveland this week. Cleveland certainly doesn't put the heart, you know, the fear of God in anybody, I don't think. I'm sure that Bill Belichick will work on that very thing. Once practice resumes tomorrow here at Gillette. But I can also tell you that, without knowing who's going to be playing quarterback, I mean, and that's legit. They haven't named a starter yet for this next week because they've had, you know, two, three guys go down with injury this year, and two guys in Whedon and Campbell haven't been cleared for duty any longer because of concussion issues. You don't know. They're on their fourth. They will be on their fourth quarterback this season. I mean, where would the Patriots be if we were, you know, if Brady and Mallett were two quarterbacks ago? I mean, I don't know what to tell you about that. And that just skews everything miserably in a negative factor. But there is certainly some individual talent on that Cleveland team that we'll be taking a look at over the course of the next couple of days. And the main thing that you need to keep in mind as a Pats fan primarily is that it's a home game. And so when you have the home game, you've got to win at home. You got to finish out. You got to win these two home games. Go undefeated at home this year. And then you have, an opportunity, I think, at the very least to win one of the two on the road. And if you can finish 3-1, which would put you at 12-4 for the year, you're still going to end up being the two seed most likely. Now, Cincinnati's going to need to lose somewhere because I think they've got four losses too, and you can't be tied with Cincinnati. You're tied with Cincinnati, you're going to lose the tiebreaker, and you're going to fall into the wild card.
Yeah, they have a huge game. The huge game this week is Cincy in Indianapolis.
So I think you're going to have to root like hell for Indianapolis. And yeah, Indianapolis has got four, right?
Yeah, but this game with those two playing will knock one of those two teams
out of contention
for the two seed.
So I'm thinking right now what you need to do, though, is you need to root for Indy over Cincinnati this week. At least that's my initial thought, because it may very well be that it's easier for them to lose a little bit later on. And I don't even know where the tiebreaker would fall down if both the Patriots and the Colts have four losses. I'd have to look at that, and I just haven't taken the time to look at that yet. All I know is that you can't end up tied with Cincinnati, so Cincinnati's got to go. So you got to root for the Colts. It's that simple. If you do that, then you can pretty much guarantee yourself at least the two seed, which would be, you know, home field advantage until you have to go to Denver. I mean, okay. And considering the way things went a couple of weeks ago, how concerned would you be to send the Patriots off to Denver for a game knowing that, you know, you won a game in overtime here that you really had no business winning because you fell behind 24-0? I don't think Denver will scare anybody. I think you'll realize that, hey, the Patriots can move the ball. But Denver, kind of like Seattle in the NFC, Denver's pretty tough at home. You know, they like the football in the Mile High air. It travels further. That offense is deadly. And considering the way the Patriots' defense has been over the last few weeks, honestly, I think the Patriots, they need to play for the number one seed. I don't think they can afford to stumble. If you want to see the Patriots in the Super Bowl in New York, potentially, at least I think at this stage, against Seattle, because they appear to me to be the cream of the crop right now in the NFC, especially after what happened last night. I mean, they just spanked New Orleans, didn't they? Then, honestly, you're going to have to get Seattle out of their element. You need to put them in a cold weather environment, and that's where the Patriots can thrive. I'm not really looking forward to a Denver-Seattle Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. Just not, because I think that'd end up being a dog, because I don't think either team can play in the cold like that. I don't think either one can. Again, that's just me. We're talking about something that's 2 months away from happening, but that's just at least my initial inclination. I want to see a cold weather team in there that's used to playing like this. Now, I say, well, you know, cold weather team. Denver obviously has had snow and cold weather and such, but, you know, it's still a team that's led by Peyton Manning, who's been a dome, you know, stadium guy his entire life. You know, when he was with Indianapolis. So I'm having a hard time seeing them as being terrifically effective. All things being equal, love to have the home field advantage. You had it last year, you didn't quite get it done. Love to have it again this year, because I don't think this year's team overall is as good as last year's. And it's simply because of the injuries and the key players that have been lost here. But sometimes that's the breaks of the game. I mean, you know, sometimes teams win that shouldn't win because the schedule or the breaks just work out in their favor. I mean, the Boston Red Sox are a huge example of that. Who in the hell thought that the Red Sox would be a playoff contending team, much less a World Series championship team, but they were able to do it because of the environment around them. And so the Patriots overall may not be as good from top to bottom, but consider the environment around them and the situation around them and where they're going to have to play and who they're going to have to play against, they actually might match up pretty well, even with their shortcomings. And they've got some big ones on the defensive side of the ball. You know, I talked about Kyle Arrington being my number one nitpick from this last week in the win over Houston. You know, the second nitpick is run defense. I mean, you go and you get Isaac Sopoaga, and I think he's been okay, but he certainly is no Vince Wilfork. I'm mostly disappointed in the middle of the linebacking core to support on run defense. I'm wondering what the hell's happened to Dante Hightower. That concerns me a little bit. I don't think he's been as effective as we would have expected him to be. Now, I'm going to have to go back and look at a little bit more videotape, I think, of his particular assignments, if you will. But I want to see the linebackers run up and make plays, and I think this is where now we're beginning to appreciate what Jerod Mayo really means to this team. Because while Wilfork is doing the stuffing up front, Mayo is the one filling the gaps and making those tackles. That's why he's been one of the leaders on this team in total tackles. I don't see that same type of performance or role from Mayo. I mean, from Hightower. And I think we have an expectation that that should be happening in this instance, and I don't see it happening. So I'm going to have to start. I'm going to really, over the next week or two, I'm going to take a closer look at what's happening on that side of the ball. And we'll see if we can't figure out where the problem really lies, because I really believe, you know, hey, you're going to be playing cold weather environment for the Super Bowl. Team that might come at you and pound the ball at you might be a team that can whip you. I don't necessarily think it's going to be, you know, just throw over the top, because I'm hopeful that you'll have a relatively healthy Tlaib. Hopefully by that time you have a relatively healthy Dennard. And then you put the safeties. Steve Gregory returned this week with a soft cast on his broken thumb, and Devin McCourty back there. So if you tell me that you have Dennard, Tlaib, Gregory, McCourty back there defending, I'm feeling as good as you can feel. And you could put a guy like Arrington back there in the nickel role, which he was successful with earlier in the year, or whether it's Logan Ryan or someone like that, even in a dime role, then I'm feeling about as good as you can feel about the secondary. My main concern now is the linebacking core, because the front four needs some help. They're a little undersized there. I can't say enough about Villano and Wright, though. I mean, the two rookies in the defensive front. On the line, simply because, quite frankly, they are. What's a good way to explain it? Overachieving? Sometimes I think that indicates that you've underachieved to begin with. And I don't think that's necessarily the case here. What I really believe is that these guys are performing to the point where we didn't necessarily expect it. And I'm thinking overall that, let's see. You got, you didn't really expect them to do much of anything when your tackles go out. I mean, you lose Tommy Kelly. You lose these guys overall. There's not going to be a whole lot of backup. You're looking at rookie free agents that are out there. And then all of a sudden, you have guys that are beginning to make some plays. And I'm wondering maybe if some of these guys aren't getting beat down or getting beat up or just, you know, getting pounded a little bit right now, and if it's not kind of like, you know, taking its toll. I'm thinking of Chris Jones. That's who I'm thinking of. Couldn't think of it. I'm thinking of Chris Jones. You know, here's a guy who's a rookie free agent, and Joe Villano, you know, who's also a free agent. Rookie free agent. And even though those guys are in there getting their reps, and you can see them battling, you know, in the trenches, they're starting to get dominated a little bit, and this is where you need the linebackers to come up and provide that help, and you're not getting it. So that was my second nitpick, make a longer story shorter. My second nitpick would have to be linebacker play overall. I don't see the run support that I'd really that I think that the Patriots should be getting in this particular instance. So is it any huge surprise to you? Any huge surprise to you at all? The two of the nitpicks here have to do with the defense. When you consider Patriots now have given up 31 points in each of the last 2 weeks. By the way, how ironic is it that the score has been 34-31 each of the last 2 weeks? Did that dawn on anybody? I don't know. Did we do a prediction last week on Tuesday? Probably not, before Thanksgiving, right? Ryan on Web Radio says, guys, huge Pats fan down in Houston. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but it seems like that was the worst I've seen our D play. Speak of the devil. I know we're extremely banged up on D, but how was Andre Johnson getting wide open consistently? I couldn't pay attention the whole time, but I didn't see Tlaib on Andre Johnson too much. Well, he was on him as much as he could be. Any reason for that, considering how he has been known to lock down players in certain games? Good note, though, it seemed like moving the chains came easy for Tom against the Houston D, which is good. If the Texans were able to get deep passes on us, I can only think of Baltimore being able to do the same thing they did to us last year, the AFC Championship game. Any thoughts on that? Well, again, we'd be kind of jumping off the handle here, looking at 2-3 weeks on down the line before you get to the Ravens. So, you know, frankly, I'm going to hold off on that one, Ryan. But you're right in terms of getting open consistently. I think part of the problem that Kyle Arrington has had when he's been out there, has been, and he, and by the way, Arrington was not on, on Johnson in those instances that you're probably talking about. That was Tlaib largely. I think some of that you're just going to have to give credit to Andre Johnson. He's still a very good wide receiver and still perhaps one of the elite big wide receivers in the game. He's just had trouble getting the ball to him because of the quarterback, you know, circus that they've had in Houston this year. But a lot of that in terms of Arrington's coverage is because they just play off the receiver. He's not one of those, you know, physical guys that likes to get up to the line and jam the dude before, you know, the 5-yard limit. He gives his receivers too much cushion in coverage. And you know, I don't know what else to tell you. And then when he does, he doesn't have enough recovering speed when the receiver goes by him or makes an adjustment or a hitch in his route. To me, that's kind of Kyle Arrington in a nutshell. He's not a bad player, but I just don't think he is an every down, you know, regular cornerback in the NFL. He's a specialty guy. He's a specialty guy that should be playing nickelback or should be playing special teams. That's really kind of it. Does that mean he's not an NFL player? No. It means he's got to go find his role. Like so many of these guys, the overwhelming majority of these guys in the league are. You got to find your role. That's his role. He's being asked to step out of his role because of injuries, and you get games sometimes like you saw on Sunday. That's the result, which is why I made the statement with the caller a short while ago. Love to see Logan Ryan now get a shot because we've seen his ability to make plays. And some guys, I really don't think you can coach the ability to be a playmaker. I think some guys either have it or they don't. I think sometimes that really is just, and I think more often than not, that's just an innate ability that a player has, the ability to step up, make a play when your team needs it. And I think Ryan might be one of those guys, and the only way that we're going to know is to see him get more reps. And I think we're at the stage now where we need to see more reps because who wants, I mean, I can tell you one of the next huge nitpicks to come will be Kyle Arrington giving up a touchdown bomb or a touchdown pass or something that ends up deciding a game in these last 4 weeks. That one is still to come. And the Patriots will have nobody to blame but themselves, the coaches, period, for that situation because you might have an option that would keep you from getting there. And this is another issue. And really, my third nitpick, it is on the offensive side of the ball, but this kind of leads into my third nitpick for today. And I always try to give you three nitpicks every Tuesday, and I'm still waiting for some here. I can't believe we don't have any nitpicks today, Kevin. I'm stunned by this, especially the way the defense played. But my third nitpick today, it really does have to do with the offense. And frankly, I'm terribly surprised that that Stephen Ridley sat. And I know Coach Belichick said on Patriots Monday, he said post-game after the game, that there's no quote-unquote lesson that was being shown him or being, you know, made example of because of the fumbling problems that he's had. Look, I think we all realize now, if we didn't before, we know now, he has problems holding on to the ball. And the main reason is because he likes that little spin move, and when he spins out of a potential tackle as he's going forward, his arms come flying out. If you look at it on the videotape, his arms come out away from his side. He can't, his arms just don't stay down. He doesn't have flaps down. He has flaps up. And when the flaps come up, arms get in there, hands get in there, ball pops loose. That's what happens. He's got to work on that. That's why on the shots on the sideline on Sunday, you saw him standing on the sideline because he was a healthy scratch and he's holding on to a football. Do you see those shots? Especially in the second half of the game, he's holding on to a ball. Kind of like the whole, you know, my basketball coach, you know, when I was in high school, he used to make us, the players, walk around school with a basketball in our hands all day, especially the guards, because I was a point guard. So we had it because he wanted us used to, basically, he wanted the ball as an extension of our hands. He didn't want us turning it over. He didn't want us making bad passes. And even though it's kind of silly, I understood the process. He wanted the hand and the ball to be one, and that's what you want with Stephen Ridley, and that was part of what you saw on Sunday. But the whole idea, and you cannot tell me, when Belichick said there were 46 guys ahead of him, that's mule muffins, and you know it. I laughed out loud. I LOL'd at that one, and I hate that, but I did. That was punishment, okay? That was a message, if there ever was one. It was a message sent to all of us, not just Ridley, but all of us that, dude, we can't tolerate the fumbling anymore. We got to live with you, but we're not going to lose because of you. So you're going to sit this one out. You're going to watch. We're going to put you back in because you're still the best back we have. But we can't let this go unscathed. We can't let your deed go unpunished. And my whole beef with this is like, okay, look, we know what Stephen Ridley is. We know they work on ball drills and ball, you know, control drills and things like that. They made a point of even showing that last week during the holiday week, you know, when they let the media in for some of the drill work. And they, you know, they are swiping at the ball and he's working on protecting the ball and all that stuff. We know that. He's still the best back you have. And I really thought that by keeping him out of the game, that put the Patriots in a compromising position that could have caused them to lose the game. Now, ultimately, they didn't. Ultimately, the coaching staff doesn't have egg on its face here. That was punishment. Pure and simple. Make no mistake about it. These guys are pros. They're paid a lot of money to perform. If you need to bench them for whatever reason, that's fine. But to hold him out the whole game and make him not active? Isn't that kind of like, you know, rubbing a puppy's nose in his mess? I just thought that was over the top. I thought it put the team in a precarious position. And I thought it was uncalled for, especially when everybody, including Coach Belichick, knows the best back they have is Stephen Ridley, regardless of his penchant for fumbling. All right, got that off my chest. What are your thoughts? Eldridge in North Carolina, you're in the playbook. How you doing, Eldridge?
Hey, Dylan, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
I'm feeling better now, but that first half, man, feel like it was Denver, man. I had to go leave for a little while and come back.
Yeah, I can understand why you would. And frankly, I was sitting in Brooklyn, New York, getting ready to do a basketball game, and I watched the whole game from my seat in Brooklyn. And I got to tell you, we're shaking our heads and we're mumbling under our breath and we're, you know, not cursing. It's kind of like, what the, you know, what is going on here? You know, because there's no way that Houston should have been up by 10 at halftime. And then when we saw those shots of Ridley on the sideline, we learned that he's not active. That just shot right up my backside.
Yeah, that hurt me too because it hurt my fantasy team also. Because
well, we all know that it's all about your fantasy team, so that's all right.
Just about, but no, but I agree with you too, man. That was punishment from the last game with Denver. But I agree with you also. That could have cost us too. You know, if you live by a sword, die by a sword, Bill. But I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Eldridge, I just thought it was uncalled for. I mean, these guys are pros. They know what their job is. If they screw up, you know, then all right, guess what? Bench him for a series. Bench him for a half. But for not to make him eligible for an entire game? Come on. That's treating him like he's a 13-year-old kid.
Right. I don't agree with that one either. But my biggest concern, man, is that defense. I mean, everybody, including everybody, can run through us, folks, at least to the fourth quarter. Well, yeah. Four, I don't know what you do after that.
Yeah.
But for the first, second, and third, man, they got 200 yards, 100-some yards. I mean, I don't get it. Is it spikes? Is it linebackers? The people that tackle, they're doing what they're supposed to do, or what? I just can't put my hand on them.
Well,
carries. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, let me ask you something, Eldridge. I mean, knowing what we have back there and knowing that, really, there's not a better option than say, Arrington, perhaps, what would you do differently?
There is a better option out there. Like I said, Route still out there. A couple more cornerbacks out there. I know it's probably a little bit too late to bring him in. I was brought in 4 weeks ago.
Eldridge, I know that you're a proponent of bringing guys in, but look, let's face it. You got a month left in the season. Anybody that's not playing on a roster somewhere with all of the injuries this year around the league, if you're not on a roster right now, really, how much better do you think they could do?
Well, I think Rowell is better than Aaron. Hold on, man.
Well, okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but I don't see it.
But otherwise, like I said, if I'm turning around, man, Aaron's been just getting toast. Like I said, they should have been toast. $16 million they paying him. Like I said, I want $15 back in change because he ain't worth it. He's not worth it. I know we got to go along with what we got this year, but John, let me ask you something. Ain't you tired of going with the same thing we're going with for the last 3 years? And in the last 3-4 years, it's been that secondary effort to leave a little bit, but to leave get burnt too. But it's better than what we got back.
Right.
You know, but don't you just get tired of that? Didn't you see other people? said, darn, we should have grabbed this guy, that guy, and they just playing in, you know, a whole lot better.
Yeah, I understand where you're going, but I mean, I mean, am I frustrated? You know, I'm the only thing I'm really frustrated at sometimes is their criteria as to what makes a good defensive back. Because you know they're looking for guys, I guess that you know have the ability. Yeah, I mean, look, the Patriots, and I've said this several times, but the Patriots coach their defensive backs a little bit differently than most teams, and they don't necessarily. I think they've kind of gotten away from the physical nature of the defensive back that they had, say, you know, back in the Super Bowl when they beat the Rams, and you know we saw what Ty Law did to those receivers. They don't really coach their guys to do that any longer, and so because of that, they're looking for a different player, a different kind of player that has, you know, speed enough in order to be able to make up ground. And I think that sort of defeats the purpose. I think you've got to have guys that are better athletes overall, and I think you've got to take, frankly, the Pete Carroll way of doing things and try to look for bigger backs that can be a little bit more athletic back there.
Me too, and speed, but speaking of speed, them guys that we got is slow. I mean, they're slow. They can't run with majority of the receivers in the NFL. And you see that time and time again. Aaron can't run with a rookie, but Hopkins, anyway, from South Carolina.
Yeah.
He's always been a threat.
Yeah.
He runs some play.
Yeah.
But he got speed, but we ain't got nobody that can run with anybody and cover with him. If they got speed. I don't care who they put up back there. If they run in like a 4.2, 4.3, 40, we smoke. We smoke. That's from Harrington, Dennard, that's Cole, that's Ranks, Ryan, even Talib. But Talib got technique, though. Them other guys don't seem to have it. Harrington should have it, but he don't.
Right.
As long as he been in the league.
Right.
And like I said, maybe they need to change the coaching style back up and go back after some Ty Law and some Rodney Poole. Even some Harrison and safety.
Right. Well, let's just hope this. Let's hope that again that they won't stay pat, and frankly they may not, because we don't know what'll happen to Talib next year. But let's hope that they try to make, you know, some moves again to improve the secondary, where at least the depth is improved, where you have some options. I'm ready to see Logan Ryan as an option.
We'll see. But you ain't got to go. You have a good one, man.
Thanks, Eldridge. Appreciate that. Big Al in Valdosta. Big Al, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Same to you, John, and welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
How was your trip?
The trip was marvelous, as you would expect a trip to the Virgin Islands to be. It was marvelous.
I was about to say. You don't need a tanning booth down there, do you?
No, sir. It was, the weather was 84, 85 every day. We had one little shower the first day we were there. We had one little shower on the day we left. The rest of it was absolutely perfect. I didn't have my game broadcast until late at night, so that means I had all morning and all day to do nothing but basically be out in the sun, which was outstanding. I had to make sure that I had plenty of sunscreen on.
Well, good for you.
Thank you, sir.
That is great. And then, We have nice conditions here in Valdosta, but we can't claim to have a beach.
No, you don't quite have the Caribbean in Valdosta. But I realize Valdosta's got its high points. Yes.
Well, you do have access to either you can go the Gulf Coast, like the Destin, Fort Walton Beach thing, or you can go the other way to Jacksonville and all.
Right to the ocean.
You can kind of pick your point, but we're not like right on either one of them.
Correct. You are.
Anyways, first of all, yes, welcome back. And I want to just say, and I called the guy last week that pinch hit for you last week, and I said the exact same thing that you just said about Ridley. I mean, almost word for word. You know, bench him for a quarter, maybe a half. But, you know, geez, you know, you hate to think that it's something where you sit him for the whole game. And then to have him standing on the sidelines like that, holding the ball where the cameras can, you know, I thought that was a little over the top. Maybe about 30, 40% over the top. You know, that, geez, you know, come on. The guy's a grown man. You know, it isn't like he, got arrested for a double homicide. Who would do? Oh, Aaron Hernandez. I'm sorry. Yeah. So. How about How about lightening up? And I agree also, his problem with the fumbling is
You know what, Al?
In the hole. You can't spin in between the tackles like that. And
yeah.
He exposes the ball, and that's true. How it pops out.
That's true. And as far as the sideline shot's concerned, look, the Patriots, they're at fault for that because they made it a storyline by not activating him. Okay? So it's the Patriots' fault for making it a storyline. Look, if you're really pissed off at him, why are you bench him and put him in uniform and then sit his butt down? But you know they made it a storyline because he's standing there on the sidelines in his skivvies, basically holding a football. They made it a storyline. You got to blame the Patriots for that. You don't blame Stephen Ridley.
No, you don't, because that the Patriots are basically saying, "Hello, here's our photo op.
Yes,
here's our photo.
Yes,
we have photo op for sale.
Yes,
here you go, discount 2-for-1 photo ops." Here you go.
Yeah, they were kind of begging for
just
it.
Just in time for the holidays.
Yeah.
Holiday sale on photo ops.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of chintzy.
I agree.
But
I agree.
Whatever. Hopefully we can get past it. But, yeah, you think about the proximity of LSU, where he played college, to Houston, Texas. Forgive me if I'm wrong, John, but they're not really too terribly far apart, those two areas. And, you wonder if he had family peep at the game or there was tickets involved. It's not that far from Louisiana to Houston, right? It's a reasonable drive. So I was kind of thinking about that last week too when I called in. I said, "Geez, you know, maybe he's going to have people there. I don't know if you want to bench him the whole game, maybe a half a quarter or whatever." But anyway, the next point you brought up was who's the top four of each conference, and to me, I'm looking at. I'll start with the NFC and come to our conference.
I'm looking for the top four overall. Two in each league. Are there two that have stood out heads and tails? Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you wanted the top four in each conference.
Nope. Two in each conference. The four best teams in the NFL right now.
All right. Here we go. I think you got Denver and New England in the AFC, and I think in the NFC you've got Seattle at the top. They're clearly, after last night, you got to put them at the top.
Yep.
But I think that Carolina is emerging, you know. And, you know, maybe they're a fraud or a flash in the pan. I don't think so. I think they've beaten some people. And if they play at home, you know, I think they're going to be tough. They've proven they can win on the road also at San Francisco. I'd say, you know, New Orleans and San Francisco are kind of, it would be in the third and fourth kind of, you know, battling to get up there. But I think Carolina would be your number two over there. So I'd say Denver, New England, you pretty much put a blanket over those two. And then Seattle, I think, is the clear number one in the NFC, but Carolina emerging.
I think those are pretty good choices, Al. And I would say this about Carolina, that sometimes when you don't really believe in a team, when that team gets on a roll, they believe in themselves, and they're able to carry that a little bit forward. And I think that's where Carolina is right now. And so I think based on what we've seen over the last few weeks, and certainly the win over the Patriots notwithstanding, I think you got to put them in as a legitimate threat at the very least to what, you know, Seattle has done. But Seattle is going to be awful tough to beat at home. I don't care who you throw out there. And you'd almost have to think that maybe a team that has the ability to put up big points, pinball-type numbers up on the scoreboard, would be a team that would have a chance to beat Seattle there. And to me, that actually might be a team like San Francisco or New Orleans. But you know, based on what we've seen thus far, Carolina's got my attention, and I think Carolina probably should have everybody else's attention as well, because they're going to be capable. They're definitely capable. The Patriots should have won that game. Patriots lost that game more than Carolina won it, in my estimation, because of what they left on the field. The fact of the matter is, Carolina had more points at the end of the game.
That's right. Well, you had another Ridley fumble in that game.
You did.
And, you know, I called the show too while you were away, and I actually agreed with that call at the end. I don't want to go through that all over again, but I thought that was the right call at the end. And I think if you get to the end of the game and you're depending upon a call to go the right way, I think you're
in trouble. That's pretty good. That game was not necessarily lost on that call. It was unfortunate.
No.
But the game really wasn't lost there. It was lost earlier.
Well, now we got to the three-quarter poll, John. We got four games left to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like we say this every year, you know, the Patriots can run the table, but it's the National Football League, you know, and something can, you can always get, somebody can rise up and bite you, you know. Of the last four games, I think that we can run the table, and I would say You know, it might be easy to point to the Baltimore game because it's on the road and they're pretty good. And but I think we are going to be so ready to beat Baltimore. I really do. We've lost to them two close games down there in the regular season in recent years. They've knocked us out of the playoffs twice in Foxborough in recent years, and we had that one win where we kind of that guy choked that field goal at the at the end of regulation for the Ravens, or else they might have really I think won five of the last in a row. I mean, really big games between the two teams. I think we're going to be ready to beat them, so I think we're going to win that game, and they might be out of it by then as well. I think it's the second to last game of the season.
It is, and I'm going to hope that you're right, but I don't see that happening right now. So I hope that you're right, because I think that might be a better opportunity for the Patriots. I just don't know that it's going to happen though.
Well, I hear you, but the game I'm going to be pretty confident about that one. The one that I'm really worried about, it sounds crazy, but Buffalo at home. I mean, they always play us tough, home or away. They've had big leads in games, and then they've lost the leads. And C.J. Spiller, we cannot stop him to save our life. I mean, he always has big games against us, and, you know, he might just go off. You go just absolutely bonkers, and we just can't stop him, and he runs forever, and maybe he just wins them a ball game. I don't know. I think that's the toughest one, honestly, of the last – of the last four. That's the one I'm most concerned about.
Well, I will respectfully disagree, only because of the road game situation with Baltimore.
Right.
Still could be a playoff situation for them. But I see your point about the Bills, and yes, they do play the Patriots tough. And now, you know, if you're trying, let's say you've clinched the two, you can't get the one. You know, do you want to rest guys further? And hopefully the answer to that is no, because you are going to get a week off. You know, the Bills, what do they have to lose? If they're on the outside looking in, that's when sometimes teams can be most dangerous. We've seen that in finales here at Gillette in recent memory as well. The Dolphins have come in and beat the Patriots in that situation in the past. So, it's an interesting problem that could shape up.
Quick question, I'll let you go. I think we all kind of know what our tiebreaker situation is with Denver, because we've got a head-to-head win, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's less clear, at least to me, and I haven't really dug into it, what the tiebreaker situation might be if it comes down to it with, let's say, Kansas City or the Colts, considering we haven't played, you know, those teams, and they have records, I guess, close to ours or the same. I guess Kansas City's got three losses, and I believe Indianapolis has four losses.
Yeah, right.
So the teams that we haven't played, I guess, you know, of course, we played Denver, we played Houston as teams outside of the designated division that we've got to play the AFC North, but the other two divisions being South and West, we've already played Denver and Houston, and we know those results. We got a couple more games left with we got a game with Baltimore, so we kind of know how that'll play out when we play them head to head. But what would be our head to head with Kansas City and Indianapolis specifically? Because we haven't played them and won't play them.
Best as I can tell here, you're looking at, obviously, since there's no head-to-head, you're looking in games play. You're looking at, common games, best one-loss tied in common games. And I think that's where it would end up probably going. And then beyond common games, probably games played within the conference.
I think it's flipped. I think it's conference first.
Is it conference first?
Yeah, and then common
then
games.
Then common games?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then it's conference games. Then all you need to do is very simply look at the broken down records, and you can get that on any major website and see what their AFC records are.
So Indy has not lost a game, or no, excuse me, they're 4-0 in the division. They're 6-2 in conference, which is the same as the Patriots.
All right.
Cincinnati's 6-3, but that doesn't matter because the Patriots lost to them head-to-head.
Head-to-head.
So
that
would
even come in.
We have a head-to-head loss with Cincinnati. I forgot to mention that before.
We got
a head-to-head loss.
So Kansas City also, Al, is 6-3 in the conference as well. So
you've
Patriots
got an edge on
similar.
Cincinnati right now. I mean, on Kansas City. You got a half-game lead on Kansas City. So if it came down to Indianapolis and you end up tied in the conference, then I think you go to common games.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you just got to see. Yeah.
That's where I get on my little soapbox about playing the other conference. I would, you can't do it, but I would be thrilled at this point to go back and trade the win at Atlanta, even though they suck and it might be considered embarrassing to lose to them or whatever. I would much rather have the win against Cincinnati than a win against Atlanta just because of the conference situation.
Yeah, but, you know, that actually makes some sense. You know, if you could trade, that's definitely one I think you would trade for without a doubt.
Well, and it worked out good. Later on, we lost the game in Carolina, but won the Denver game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you much rather have the win over Denver than the win over, if you had to lose one, you know, I'd much rather lose the Carolina game than the Denver game.
No
so
question.
It kind of worked out the opposite.
No question. And even before the Carolina game played, the week leading up to Carolina, which is the last time we were on the air here, then we said, hey, if you could get a split in these next two, you'd take it, right? And guess what? That's what you got. And
it
I think
was a split, and it was the right kind
of split. It was the right
split.
Yes. I agree
exactly.
With you. I'm with you. I'm with you on that one.
Well, we'll just see how she goes. John, welcome back. Work on that tan. There's no tanning booth for John Rook. He does not need a tanning booth.
No, I don't.
It's all natural, babe.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Big Al. Good to hear from you. All right. So we got the tiebreaker correct, Kev, right? It's head to head. And then it would be games within the conference. And then if that's still tied, then it's common opponents, correct? When you're trying to break a tie between division champions?
They call it like strength of victory, which is your games and common opponents.
All right. So we'd have to see. And again, I'd have to take a look side by side at what Indy's schedule was and what New England's schedule was.
Yeah, so right now, Indy would have an edge over that slightly by, you know, obviously winning percentage points.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, like I said, doesn't matter. And then Kansas City with that soft schedule. You know, the Patriots have a decided advantage right now if you're going to go by conference or the strength of victory tiebreaker here over Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
What they don't have is a decided advantage over Indy. So what you're really hoping for, like you said, John, is you're probably rooting for Indy to knock off Cincinnati.
Because that's the easiest tiebreaker, and you don't want to be tied with Cincy.
Yeah, so what you're probably rooting in that game. That game's a tough one for Indy because I believe that's in Cincy this Sunday.
Yep.
And then what you're doing is you're just basically rooting against the Colts the rest of the way, which you've been doing all season anyway because they've been nip and tuck for that position.
Yeah, pick your poison this week. I mean, either way, whoever loses, Indy or Cincinnati, it will help New England, but it might be easier if you get the Cincinnati loss out of the way early.
Because Kansas City is really a non-factor in the whole thing because they can't come in third or fourth because they don't win the division.
They don't win the division. They're not a factor.
Yeah, so don't really waste your time worrying about them. But Indy goes to Cincy this Sunday, which is a tough matchup. Then Indy has Houston at home, which they should win. But they have to go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs, which is a game they could lose.
Well, then I think you want to definitely root for Kansas City on that one.
So I think you're rooting for Indy to kind of go in and upset Cincy to give them another loss.
And then Kansas City to spank Indy.
And then hope that Indy falls at Kansas City 2 weeks later. I think that's what you're hoping for.
That's the perfect scenario. Now, on top of all of that, you got to take care of your own business and win. But even if you don't, say you lose that Ravens game, you finish 12-4. That's why you got to make sure that, you know, these teams are knocked back a game, which is why you need Cincinnati to lose that fifth game.
Yeah, it's nice to have that cushion. And you also, John, you know, if Cincy holds serve at home this week against Indy, so that would give Indianapolis their fifth loss, which would give the Patriots
the nod there.
Win, kind of a two game lead.
And then you still got to hope for you got to either A, win out, or B, hope that Cincy loses one more.
If Cincy's able to beat Indy this week, if you're a Patriots fan, don't give up all hope because Cincy still has to go to Pittsburgh, which is not going to be, you know, their divisional rivals.
Right.
Pittsburgh has played a lot better. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you check the game out on Thanksgiving, they gave Baltimore a hell of a time.
They did.
So Cincy still has to go to Pittsburgh. They play Minnesota at home, which should be a pretty easy game. But they also host Baltimore. So
it's not over.
No, Cincy hosts, after this Indy game, they host Baltimore and they go to Pittsburgh. Two very tough divisional games.
Right.
So it's not over, you know, by any stretch. You know, Cincy, it doesn't look like, even if they win against Indy, I think they would have a tough time winning their last three games.
That's good.
That way.
Okay, I think you're right. I think that's good to know. That's absolutely good stuff right there. So, of course, it's all a moot point if you take care of business and win your games. Then you don't have to worry about anything, and then you've got the two seed, and you legitimately have an opportunity for the one seed if you went out. You just got to get Denver to lose one spot somewhere. But even if you stumble once, it still looks like you've got a slight edge at least for the two seed.
Yeah, I think the real opportunity for Patriot fans to root for that Denver stumble was this past week when they were in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Well, you were gone, John. We kind of went over their schedule, and we kind of came to the conclusion that this was their last chance to really stumble.
What do they have the last 4 weeks?
They host Tennessee, which I think will be an easy win.
Mm-hmm.
They host San Diego, and I know San Diego has played better as of late, but they just lost to the Bengals at home on Sunday. They're not
playing real well. But I'd give San Diego a puncher's chance because San Diego plays well against the good teams, and they suck against the bad teams.
But Denver has that game at home, which is a huge advantage.
Right.
And then they finish up the season with two road games at Houston and at Oakland, which I think are pretty easy games for Denver.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So Denver's got a pretty – they have the easiest schedule.
They do.
If you look at the Patriots, the Colts, the Bengals, and the Denver Broncos, the four teams that are kind of in that first
Denver's got the easier road.
They've got the easier road, and they already, unfortunately, have a game up on the Patriots.
Which means that you probably end up having to go to Denver.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, unless there's some sort of a shakeup and Denver loses when we don't expect them to.
All right.
But that's why that Denver win over Kansas City in Kansas City
hurt.
Was so huge.
Yeah, that hurt.
It was so huge.
It did. All right, that's good stuff, Kev. Thanks for the update. Okay, you've got 855-PATS-500, the toll-free number, webradio@patriots.com. Got some nitpicks I'm going to get to here. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Find me on Twitter, at JR Broadcaster. Facebook is John.Rook. Let me get a couple of these out of the way here. Nitpicks from Twitter. This is from Facebook. It says Mary Beth says, nitpick the defense. They cannot seem to stop anyone until the last play when they get up and make a stop. They need to be more consistent. No question about that. Consistency is a huge key in the overall scheme of things. Chris says, so our run defense is like the bottom of the pile. We just can't seem to stop anything. And with Stephen Ridley, he just seems like he can't hold on to anything. With removing both of those aspects in our game, it really leaves us one-dimensional. What ways do you see our Patriots being able to make a strong turnaround on defense and actually represent strongly in January? Strong turnaround on defense, Chris? I don't know that that's possible. I got to be honest. I don't know that it's possible. Like I said on my nitpick earlier, I need to see improved play in run stopping from the linebacking core. Because I'm of the opinion that, I think our linemen are getting blocked and they're just not able to fill the gaps as well as a guy like Vince Wilfork or Tommy Kelly could do. I need to see the linebackers come up and make those plays. And I think they're being asked to do too much in coverage. And it's leaving, if they get past the line of scrimmage, that's how you see these teams get into the secondary with their running backs. I need to see the linebacking corps stop a run or two. If they can, then I think a strong turnaround is possible. Right now, I'm not sure that's the case. They may not be asked to do that right now by the coaches. They might be game planning differently. Even though we want to see it, they might be saying, look, we don't mind you giving up the middle of the field. We need to cover here. We need to cover here, the point of attack. That's where we need to be. That could be a strategy thing. I don't know why, but it is. Chris says, another thought, I know you were away when the Panthers were here, but I was thinking if that foul was called rightly, Denver would be two. We would have the number one, which means if both made it, the AFC Championship game would be back here. Well, that's a good point. That does happen. That absolutely does happen. But obviously, it can't, as Kevin just mentioned. That was actually a huge kick. I actually thought Kansas City would win the game, and they probably should have. You know, they kind of died right at the end there, at the end of the game. And, you know, but nevertheless, it just kind of shows you that, you know, Kansas City might be, while they're certainly improved and they're certainly a threat, might be a bit of a paper tiger as opposed to Denver, which, you know, well, we all know what Denver has. You saw it up close and personal. You know, you basically handed them a 24-point lead. Denver should have put the Patriots away in the first half and didn't because of the way the Patriots were giving them the ball, especially on a short field. I mean, my goodness. Turnovers like that in a playoff game, that's death. The Patriots should have died in that game, and they didn't, because Denver really didn't take advantage of it like they should have. So that little, you know, I think there's going to be a little seed of doubt planted in the Broncos' minds. And I know there's a seed of doubt planted in Peyton Manning's mind. All things being even, I'd love to get Denver back here as opposed to having to go to Denver to play them on down the line in a potential championship game. But, okay, be that as it may, we've kind of unfolded the scenario for you, and this is really kind of where we stand at this stage of the game. All right, Kev, let's sneak in another quick timeout. And then, again, got a lot of nitpicks I want to get to through the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Still time for you to call 855-PATS-500. It's been great to check in with many of you as I've been away on assignment. So now is your time to jump into the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football, especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown! Ha-ha!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place, Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
About 15 minutes or so left of the program. Time for you to jump on. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free telephone number. John Rook here, back from the two-week hiatus and ready to go with the more nitpicks. Did you see the story today, however, the two security guards in Houston at Reliance Stadium who were apparently fired from their jobs for posing for pictures with TB12 after the game was over? Yep. Yep. And one of the guys, apparently these guys work part-time like a lot of our security guys do around here at Gillette. One of the guys told a television station in Houston that he was doing it just as he's getting ready to clock out. So I guess you got to consider the circumstances. But the other thing is that, we see guys do it all the time around here is what they told, you know, the stadium or the company, the team, even though they got fired. Now, obviously, I've been asked many, many times about things like this, you know, and because of the people that we deal with. And I'm really more of a media person than I am an employee of the team, even though technically I am an employee of the team. But I've been in the media a lot longer. And so I would tell you that that's just sort of an unwritten rule. You don't do that because of the access they have these guys. I mean, you wouldn't want somebody coming up and bothering you all the time for something as innocuous as, say, a little autograph or a photo or something like that if you were around them all the time. Because, frankly, it gets to be old. You don't want to be bothered. You're trying to do your job. You're paid a lot of money to do your job. You need to be able to concentrate on doing your job. In this particular instance, Tom acquiesced because he was on his way out the door. He took a moment. I saw the photo. You know, it seemed harmless enough. I suppose rules have to be rules. But I'm wondering if sometimes you don't maybe try to take a little bit larger picture view of things. It's unfortunate. It's just unfortunate. The corporation that hired the guards said it stood by its decision to fire the two, that it's strictly against policy for employees to request photos or autographs from players. And the player or the employee's argument was that the policy had not been strictly enforced. So I guess this is going to end up in court. But this is the kind of thing that gets you in trouble. It seems silly, seems dumb, seems stupid. But now you can understand maybe a little more why sometimes players just avoid that kind of stuff altogether. Because now, you know, some fool's going to think, oh, well, geez, if Brady had just, you know, walked on out, these guys would still have their jobs. No, not exactly. Tom's just trying to be a nice guy. And generally speaking, for those of you that have ever had a chance to, you know, have an interaction with Tom, that's exactly what he is. I mean, here's a guy that you'd think would be up here and, you know, you're down here, and but he doesn't act like that. And that's what makes Brady Brady, and that's kind of what makes him special, at least in my estimation. Brian in Essex, Vermont. Hope you and your family had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hope you enjoyed your time away. I did, Brian. Thank you. On Nit Pick Tuesday, he says the Pats offense really needs to figure out a way to start playing in the first quarter, or at the very least second quarter. It's amazing what they've done in the second half of games this year, but can you really expect to turn the tables so clearly after the half in the playoffs? History suggests no. And number two, the Patriots have to find something to do about the run D. I realize in games like Denver, they're going to pick their poison, but I'm not convinced that if they decide to shut down the run that they can. I'm right there with you, Brian. I'm right there with you. That's why I got a little bit more specific in saying I need to see improved play from the linebackers. He says, I know it's not a nitpick, but offensive player of the week for the entire NFL should be Mulligan for avoiding five or six tackles and still punching it in at the end. I think you're talking about the fullback. Devlin, not Mulligan. But I totally agree with that. That's a good call. Steven and Killeen says, nitpicks. In the Texans game, the Pats D not being able to stop the third and long conversions. There are other nits with the D that I will leave to others. Also, I will leave the Antonio Smith comments to be handled by Mr. Stephen A. Smith as he spanked him like he was his daddy. I didn't hear what Stephen A. had to say about it. I'm sure it was choice. But, yeah, I mean, Antonio Smith just opened up his mouth and didn't realize that he was, you know, going to get killed for this because, you know, he's clueless. He said, well, I don't ever watch ESPN. I don't think that's an argument, but you're clueless. You got to know better than that. You got to have a little better sense of your whereabouts, and you got to know that that's going to be a touchy subject. And if you're not, then guess what? You get all the crap that comes to you. His own teammates gave him crap for it. So. Harley from North Carolina again. Glad to hear you again. Spygate comments get old. I get them from all the Panther fans here. They think we stole their ring. But it's funny you brought it up today because yesterday a New Orleans fan at work had the nerve to say something about Spygate, and isn't what we did nothing compared to the bounty scandal. This was supposed to be the Texans' year, and we were supposed to have an off year with all the lack of offense. So I look at all the Pats haters and put two fingers up. Is that with two hands? Attaboy, Harley. I like it. Bill says, guys, when do you think the referee strike will end? I, for one, am tired of these incompetent replacement refs. That's good. I like that. What is it with all these calls? I know. Totally agree. Oh, nice little bit of sarcasm there. At least I think it was, Bill. Thank you. All right. Our boy Fat Beaver here says, yo, Rook, glad to have you back, my friend. Great win on the road, knocking off the Texans. They're big loudmouths. That's great. Good effort down the stretch. New England delivered another clutch performance. That's why they are 9-3. John, calm down about the run defense. We all expected some struggles. Chris Jones was on the field 90 snaps last week. Give those guys some slack. New England is invincible. In December, the Patriots will clinch a playoff bye. Says my nitpick would probably be the common one. Big gaps between the DBs and Johnson. And Eric, 9-7, really? That's off the map. Well, he said that at the very beginning of the season. Yeah, and then he did adjust to 10-6. He did readjust. I adjusted to 11-5, and I think I got a more realistic shot than he does. But okay, that's fine. Whatever. The Patriots, if they take care of their business, they're going to be 13-3. When you consider the injuries and the off-season issues, 13-3 is near miraculous as far as I'm concerned. Nobody would have any right to really expect that. But as you point out, New England invincible in December. Well, so far, I mean, what are they now, 45-46-6 in December? So, you know, yes, Chris Jones was on the field 90 snaps, and that's part of the problem because there isn't a whole lot else in there to put in the rotation, so he gets worn down at the end of the game, which is really – I'm a little surprised why Houston didn't continue to attack the middle of the Patriots' defense. Houston really has nobody really to blame but themselves for a lot of the issues that they're plagued with at the end of the game. I mean, they kind of got away from it. They just got away from it. I thought they stopped attacking the Patriots where the Patriots' Achilles heel was showing. Mary says, John, so very glad to hear your voice again. Thank you, Mary. I have a nitpick, but it's from the Denver game. Bill Belichick spoke at the podium after the game and said something like, you don't expect to win these games when you spot the team 24 points. Well, my first response was to chuckle, but afterwards I think he gave them bulletin board material. I didn't hear anyone else bring it up and have been surprised, especially by the PFW guys. So when you're saying you're spotting a team 24, I get that. In other words, Denver didn't earn it. We gave it to them, right? Okay. I see your point. But I think, in all honesty, I think even Denver has to realize. I mean, look, they returned one fumble and they got another one in the red zone. So, I mean, you kind of handed them something there on a silver platter. Did Denver earn it? Well, you could make a case, I guess, for, you know, hey, you got guys that are on the ball, I suppose, or somebody that made a hit, or somebody certainly stripped the ball out. So you got to give them credit for that. But in effect, if the Patriots are doing their job, they don't do that, and you know that. That's definitely anti-Patriots. So I understand your meaning, but I think even I really believe strongly, even the Broncos have to realize they got a couple of gifts there. Patriots did give them a little something to get them out to that lead. And like I said earlier, you want to fault somebody here, fault the Broncos for not taking more advantage of that. I mean, you know, the Patriots' defense actually played well enough to keep their team within 24 at halftime, right? So which way are you going to look at it? That might come up again, though, Mary. I'll give you some credit here. That might come up again if these two teams face each other, you know, say for an AFC championship, especially if it's in Denver. Then you know, I think you're right. I think that would be bulletin board material, but we're a little more than a month away from something like that, about a month and a half away from something like that. So we should revisit this. Joshua says, Josh from Stratford, Connecticut, finally. We've seen the works of Josh Boyce. I personally like what I see, even if only used for kick returns. He has good vision of the field and gets his yardage. I agree with you about the Ridley benching. He needs to play and shake the fumble problem. Just glad we got the win, but the defense needs to step up. Yeah, I was Josh, that's right. You and I were a couple of people wondering why the hell wasn't Josh Boyce eligible or activated in order to return kicks, as he seemed to me to be an option back there. And we did see one particularly good return. What was it, 41 yarder this last week? So, yeah, we're starting to see that he's got some speed available there. And I think that's certainly a step in the right direction. He's got to be able to also help in other areas of special teams, which I guess he's doing. And so that's the reason why he's back there. Finally, he's contributing, and that's where he should be contributing. Megan says, John, I was actually at the game on Sunday, my first live Patriots and NFL game. Well, I bet you had a good time, Megan. And the thing that really stood out to me was how lethargic the defense started, and especially the linebackers. I saw Spikes on a bike before the game, but he and Hightower just looked flat out slow. Well, that is a criticism of both Brandon Spikes and Dante Hightower, that they just don't have the foot speed or the quickness in order to be able to adjust while on the move to receivers that come over the middle. And so when they do get in coverage in one-on-one situations, they're beaten before they ever really get challenged. That's why I'm a little flummoxed as to what the thought process might be. I'm beginning to think that the position that the coaches are putting these linebackers in is something that these guys are being coached to do, which makes it seem like they're out of position. But I think they're so worried and so afraid with the ability of the tight ends and the short receivers in the game today that they want these guys to be able to cover and not give up big plays. And so when it comes to run defense, that's almost a secondary thing, thinking that the line will take care of its duty. And what we're seeing at the end of games is some of those tackles getting beaten down, as I mentioned earlier. And when these guys get past the line of scrimmage, they're going to do some damage for 5, 6, 8 yards or more. And I'd really like to see some more run stuffing. This bears watching over the course of the next few weeks, because it's certainly an area of improvement, as we talked about in our nitpicks today. But I'm not entirely convinced, and I really like to take a closer look at this in videotape. I think the Patriots linebackers are being told to do something different. She says, on a more personal note, I have a nitpick about a certain Houston fan behind me screaming profanities at Brady and Gostkowski through the whole game. There are kids at these games, and listening to that drunk the whole game, and it was literally the whole game, really made me happy. Brady, the offense, and Gostkowski pulled that one out because it finally shut him up. You know, just a couple of quick things about that. I would tell you that, yeah, Megan, I would agree with you because, you know, there are kids. I would also tell you that, you know, there are some people that pay hefty ticket prices and probably feel like they have a right to say whatever they want. But I think that you have to realize that, you know, you are in public. There is a certain manner of civility, I think, that is expected in public. Although, I guess that only applies outside of MetLife Stadium. You know, Jets fan slugging a Patriots fan earlier, a female Patriots fan earlier this year. But, you know, All I can tell you is that behavior only reflects directly on you. And so if drunk or not, guy's standing up screaming profanities, I think that should just tell you what kind of person he is, number one. Number two, you have the right, and I know that we do this here at Gillette Stadium, but, one of the things that we've been able to do over the course of the 21 years now that I've been here, and you remember back in the old days of Sullivan Stadium and Foxborough Stadium here, that, we had problems with fights and drunks all the time, which is why Monday Night Football just stopped coming here altogether. Because of all the ruckus that was created, is that we cleaned up the act. And we've asked people to, in effect, tell on others, to tattle a little bit, to clean up their act. And now security guards will come over, and if you are inebriated and you are belligerent, you are escorted from the premises. You should have done the same thing to that guy in Houston. You really should have, or at least said something. And if he gives you crap for it, then fine. You've got probably a smartphone there. Dial the number and text your seat location or whatever, as you can do here at Gillette, and report the son of a gun. He'll change his tune really fast. He'll have to change his tune. Otherwise, they'll escort his butt out of here. So something to think about for next time. Mike in Portland, Maine. John, the first nitpick is an ongoing one. It's our opponent's starting field position on kickoffs and our inability to get tackles deep on special teams. I'd love to see Dane Fletcher in place of Dante Hightower or Brandon Spikes. That leads to my second nitpick. Those two linebackers cannot tackle or cover in the open field. They're embarrassing in pass coverage. They aren't effective on running downs either. We have the softest middle underbelly in the league. I shudder when I see Spikes covering a tight end or Hightower line up on a wide on a running back. It's a mismatch every time every team is playing us looking for. It disrupts our banged-up safeties from staying tight to their assignments. My third nitpick, too many open field tackles made by our secondary because of our poor coverage by the middle linebackers. Ninkovich must feel awful when he lines up with the other two aforementioned linebackers. I think Jamie Collins and Dane Fletcher could or should see more time on the field as the year goes on. And what do we have to lose? The play at that position is horrible anyways. Well, I see where you're going with this one, Mike. I don't disagree. I think that they've improved slightly in coverage based on where they were earlier this year. My issue is not so much in coverage, but certainly, in terms of being able to stop the run in the middle. I think there is some poor tackling going on, but I also don't think they're being put in the proper position schematically. And I need to see more of that. I really want to take a closer look at it to be able to determine that for myself. I'm not sure they're in the right position, that you and I think they should be. And if they're being told to do this, well, then why are they being told to do this? What's the goal here? And if we can be made to understand that a little bit more, maybe we can help the players out a little bit and kind of come to their defense here. But right now, you're right. Looks like they are definitely soft. Hard to believe that you're saying a guy like Spikes or Hightower is soft, but that's kind of the way they're playing. I think you may see some Jamie Collins this week. I don't know. I just kind of get the impression because of the kid Gordon at wideout for Cleveland. I'm thinking that they feel like maybe physically he might be a matchup for him. So that's just kind of, I just thought of that this morning. In fact, when I'm thinking about the show today, I'm thinking, maybe Jamie Collins, maybe. Says, P.S., when I would get grounded, my dad wouldn't tell the whole world about it. BB isn't going to call out Ridley either. I also agree that Carolina looks like a solid team. Well, I don't know about that. He's not going to call him out, but I think what he did to put him out drew attention, did it not? I mean, he had the cameras focused on him on the sideline on Sunday, so I definitely think he called him out just by not making him active. You could have done this quietly by making him active and making him sit on the bench in uniform and sit there. But instead, I think they call attention to the whole thing by not making him active. And I'm not buying the 46 guys ahead of him. That's ridiculous. I think that's just, that's telling me and you we don't know what we know. We don't know what we know, that we're idiots. And I thought that was very disingenuous, my own personal opinion. David says, Arrington is my nitpick. What's going on with Tommy Kelly? When will he be back in action, or is he done for the year? He's on IR, David, so he is done for the year and has been done for the year for a few weeks. All right, let me get to a quick couple of phone calls here before we go. Angel in Colorado, go. Angel, you there?
Hello?
Angel, you there?
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, real quick.
All right, real quick. Thank you for squeezing me in. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Rush? Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. rush, the rush, it was good. But, hey, we were there getting there, but we wanted more sacks, you know.
Right.
The kid, the quarterback, he was getting the ball out of his hands fast. And, I mean, he was slippery fish all over the field. That was good, but, you know, we could have gotten more sacks. Rush, we have to get more running yards, but it's good that we got touchdowns, you know.
Agreed.
Not down there, but, hey, they were able to stick it in and stick them in there. We don't need a 100-plus yard rusher when they can get touchdowns and all that. Edelman. He's getting good. He's like looking like a Welker out there. 9 catches in the game. I mean, that's incredible. But I wish I could see the Wookiees. Wookiees getting their time. You know, their catches. Dobson, Tompkins. You know, Boyce was out there returning kicks. At least he's doing something. But
we're seeing more of that. We're seeing more of that, Angel. And so I think that's actually part of it. And I'm glad that they're getting a little more time. I think, though, that because you're seeing the health of guys like Gronkowski and Amendola back, that's why you're not seeing the Wookiees targeted as much, you know, as they were early in the year, because Brady didn't have any other choices. And frankly, I think that's a good thing, because they need to learn their roles beyond being a primary receiver. I think that's what's going to help them develop overall. Let me squeeze in Sean of Vancouver here before we go. Sean, you're in the playbook.
Hey, yeah, I agree with the nitpicks in regards to both the run defense and giving up points in the secondary. One caller mentioned Arrington, or a couple people. To me, it's more specific him playing on the outside. We saw earlier in the game there was Johnson got quite a few yards when he wasn't on to leave. That was when they played a nickel, but then they adjusted, and I think that's what worked. Is you can't just play the zone with these big receivers. You got to have Tlaib on them. One thing is you're noticing now is the Patriots offense is coming together. And earlier in the season, we saw the defense hold things together. It's too bad that we couldn't see everything working at the same time. Cause that would be great.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I'm still hopeful that over the last month here we might see that, but I fear that we won't, only because of the injuries that we've had on the defensive side of the ball. So what we can hope for is some improvement, maybe, but to see exactly, you know, what we hoped we would get, that's just not going to happen this year, and it's unfortunate.
Well, when Denner comes back, the secondary will improve, I think, a little bit more. And I'm glad that Steve Gregory was playing a bit, too. He wasn't completely healthy, but he was in there, so
right.
The secondary is getting healthier, but the run defense, yeah, given a 4 touchdowns, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
4 rushing touchdowns.
Hey, listen, I'm with you. They're playing way too soft right now, and that's a huge problem. Sean, thank you for the phone call. All right, folks, great to be back. Thank you for participating in the opening salvo of the week here on Nitpick Tuesday. Tomorrow, Eskow will be in studio. We also hope to hear from one or two of the reporters that cover the Cleveland Browns. We're going to jump right into the Browns. Don't take the Browns for granted. I know they're just 4-8. But it seems, though, that they've sandwiched wins around 3-game losing streaks. They just lost their 3rd straight game this last week. So that means if you go by how they've played this year, this week they're due for a win. I'm just saying. You got to take all things into consideration. Patriots need to take care of business. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Fantasy football guys are coming up next. I'm John Rooks. Same Pats time, same Pats channel, manana. Just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker. Always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane? I explained it to my broker. 3 bots in the hood, top down, and ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that comes from. Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski,
Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.